Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. I'm your host today, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll learn more about Recovery Month and talk about FASD Awareness Day with Terry Tibbett. Susie Tierlink will be here to highlight the Juno Flukes, a new humpback whale nonprofit research organization. We'll speak with divas Katrina Lee and Christina Pollack about the upcoming Juno Lyric Opera event, Who's Your Diva? And we'll find out about Extension Sundays with UAF Cooperative Extension Agent Darren Snyder. And Tom Matisse will be here to showcase Saturday's Juno Preparedness Workshop. Those interviews, National Native News, Writers Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The leader of Canada's largest First Nations organization is urging the country's Native people to get out and vote during the federal election set for October 19th, saying he'll work with whoever is elected leader of the Canadian government. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Perry Bellegarde is the national chief of the Assembly of First Nations. He's not saying what party will get his support. Native leaders have had a somewhat frosty relationship with the Conservative government of Stephen Harper in the past, but Bellegarde is presenting his organization's priorities for this election, priorities that he insists will be an economic benefit for all Canadians. The aim is to address the gap in the quality of life between First Nations and non-Aboriginals, a gap that he says First Nations face every day.
Our life expectancy is 5 to 7 years lower than the national average. Our infant mortality rate is 1.5 times higher than the national average. Half of our children live in poverty, more than double the national average. There are more than 40,000 Aboriginal children and youth in foster care. 40,000.
In addition, Bellegarde says there are more than 130 Aboriginal communities under boil water advisories. He says there is also a disproportionate number of Aboriginal people in prisons. So too are youth suicide rates and unemployment. Bellegarde's plan includes improving education for First Nations, more funding and a new fiscal relationship with the government, more dialogue with First Nations on environmental issues, revitalizing Indigenous language, and fully adopting the principles of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He won't say how much his plan will cost, but acknowledges that it will be billions. He says he'll want to speak to the new government before providing any specific numbers. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The U.S. House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology held a hearing today on the Gold King Mine waste spill. Donald Benn, director of the Navajo Nation Environmental Protection Agency, testified about the spill's impact on Navajo land. Concerns raised by the tribe include a lack of response and assistance by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Lawmakers say they want accountability and information from the EPA, the agency responsible for the August spill. A hearing is scheduled next week in the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. South Dakota's Badlands National Park has a new superintendent. The 35-year National Park Service veteran arrived at his new assignment last week. Jim Kent reports.
It's not much of a change from Calumet, Michigan, population 727, to Wall, South Dakota, population 766. But it's quite a jump going from supervising the 3-square-mile Keweenaw National Historical Park beside Calumet to running the 380,000-square-mile Badlands National Park just down the road from Wall. And though Mike Flom spent 18 years as chief park ranger at Mount Rushmore National Memorial, being responsible for a park the size of the Badlands is definitely a new challenge.
Badlands, it's a huge, stunning natural resource park. Where I am now is a much smaller historical park. And so we don't have bison, for instance, here on the shores of Lake Superior. So it's the size of the park, the fact that the park there at Badlands is primarily natural resources, and the park I work at right now is primarily cultural and historic resources.
Integral to the operation of the park, notes Flom, is the inclusion of area tribes.
We value those partnerships and consider them true consulting partners in figuring out how we best manage this great place, Badlands National Park, and how we best serve the visitors.
Mike Flom adds that maintaining open communications with tribal entities is the key to success for Badlands National Park. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. It's about 6 minutes after the hour, currently 57 degrees out at the Juneau Airport. Tonight looks like rain becoming heavy at times late, lows around 48. But it's nice and warm here in the studio, and I've been joined by Terry Tibbett. She wears several hats here in the community and statewide. And we're going to be talking about FASD Awareness Day. Welcome to the studio, Terry.
Thanks.
So I'm not going to even try. I would like to have you introduce yourself and which hat you're wearing today.
Okay. So I work for the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse and the Alaska Mental Health Board. It's a governor's advisory board, and I'm one of the staff. I'm the advocacy coordinator for those boards. And I also am the coordinator of the Alaska FASD Partnership. And FASD stands for Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders. So that's it's a condition that a person can get if their mother ingested alcohol during pregnancy. So I'm the coordinator of that event. I mean, of that entity as well.
Okay, and we're probably going to talk in detail about that today, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, as it is FASD Awareness Day. But I think, as many of our listeners know, this is indeed Recovery Month, right? And so we've met with Katie Chapman. She's, I believe, the ED of NCADD Juneau, mm-hmm. and we've met with various folks who are advocates, people in recovery, and just talking about this very important process of recovering from drug and alcohol addiction.
Mm-hmm.
FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, tell us a little bit about it and how it affects people and their families.
Well, the term FASD stands for fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and it's a range of disorders that can happen when a mother drinks alcohol during pregnancy. It can be anywhere from just some behavioral health issues like some ADHD or inability to understand consequences or difficulty understanding consequences from behaviors. Impulsivity is real common among some people who have been affected by prenatal alcohol exposure. Those are maybe on one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum, it can be severe learning disabilities, severe kidney problems, heart problems, low birth weight, resulting in, you know, just a weaker system, as well as behavioral difficulties as well. So it's a spectrum of disorders.
And does a person with FASD, can you tell that they have it by looking at them?
Well, a person with FAS, which is fetal alcohol syndrome, which is one of the disabilities on the broader spectrum, FAS, one of the characteristics in order to be diagnosed with FAS, fetal alcohol syndrome, is that you would have facial features, which are very distinct, and it has to do with the placement of the eyes, the philtrum, the part between the nose and the lips being smooth rather than having a crease like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there are some definite specific physical attributes to FAS. But they estimate that about 10% of the people who are affected by prenatal alcohol exposure are people with FAS. The other 90% have one of the other disabilities or several of the other disabilities on the spectrum, which are definitely not detectable, not always detectable by facial features.
That must make diagnosis very difficult.
Very, very difficult. But there, we do have diagnostic clinics around the states, around the state, and there are ways to diagnose, but we use a multidisciplinary team with different components, with an occupational therapist, a doctor, an MD, a parent navigator. There's a whole team of people who look at the situation and diagnose to get those other to get the other diagnoses on the spectrum.
If somebody suspected that they might be on the spectrum and wanted to get tested, where should they go?
Juno has an FASD diagnostic clinic. It's part of REACH, and no one really knows the acronym for REACH anymore, but it's REACH Incorporated, and you could look it up on the internet and find REACH. They have a diagnostic team and a diagnostic clinic, so that would be the place in Juneau to look. You can also go to the Alaska FASD Partnership website. There's resources on that website, and that's more statewide as well.
Okay. Another thing that you're doing today as part of FASD Awareness Day is working on prevention, and one of the things that you did today was put table tents all around Juneau. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a team of people, advocates around the city, who we had 900 table tents printed, and all of them got distributed today in over 30 restaurants in Juneau. And basically, we just went around. If you're eating out today, you might see them. They're on tables, and one side says it talks a little bit about why it's not a good idea to drink alcohol during pregnancy. And on the other side, it offers a free non-alcoholic beverage to every pregnant woman who comes in. And all these restaurants around the valley, downtown, Douglas, have all agreed to let us do that today. So they're giving away free non-alcoholic beverages to pregnant women to raise awareness about not drinking alcohol during pregnancy.
And you said many of them will probably keep them up for dinner? So
yeah,
if you're just hearing this now, you can go out to dinner if you're pregnant and have a free non-alcoholic beverage.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard in the past things like not even a drop while you're pregnant. ABADA, or the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Who you are part of, you have a sort of a different take on that. What do you say?
Well, the message that we put out that was on the table tents and that's on our posters is that there's no known safe amount of alcohol to drink during pregnancy. There's no research anywhere that shows that this amount is safe, like one glass
of wine.
Yeah,
something.
Or something like that. They don't know, because it varies from woman to woman. Every woman has her own metabolism and metabolizes alcohol differently. Every fetus has its own metabolism and metabolizes alcohol differently. And it does pass through the placenta, so they know that. It depends on when the mother drank, like where in her pregnancy, what was developing that day, and how much she drank, how often she drank. I mean, there's so many variables, and I tell people it's like playing Russian roulette. Do you want to take that chance? How do you know what your body is going to do, or your fetus's body? It's just there's no research that shows that conclusively that this amount is safe. So we just say there's no known safe amount of alcohol.
So why take the risk?
Why take the risk?
Okay. Again, this is part of Recovery Month. Do you want to highlight a couple of your upcoming events?
Sure. So we've had a couple already, but the next one is this Saturday, September 12th, at Twin Lakes. A bunch of stakeholders in the community, provider agencies, advocates, have been planning Recovery Fest. And that's happening at, as I said, Twin Lakes. It's from 2 in the afternoon till 6 p.m. There's going to be speakers. We're working on getting a dunk tank. And last year we had some members of the probation department from the Department of Corrections. They sat in the dunk tank and they let former offenders, people who had been incarcerated, throw the balls and dunk the guy. It was pretty fun. That happened. And we're going to have live music. Oh, no. It's a DJ this year. So there'll be DJ music. There'll be food, burgers, and hot dogs, and just some, you know, a good time to celebrate recovery, people in recovery from alcoholism and or drug addiction.
Okay. Well, Terry Tibbett, thank you so much for coming in today. She's the advocacy coordinator for the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, otherwise known as ABADA. Terry, is there anything else you want to add?
I think that's it. Thanks for having us.
Oh, anytime.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 9th of September, 2015. It's the birthday of an early writer of the American Southwest, Mary Hunter Austin, born Carlinville, Illinois, 1868. Went to college in Illinois. She was in love with geology, collected fossils. Then she moved out to California and spent most of her life there in the desert on the eastern edge of the Sierras. Studied the geology, the plants and animals, the weather, the native people. And she wrote a book in 1903 called The Land of Little Rain. It was probably her best-known book, but she wrote many others, novels and plays and essays. And it's the birthday of James Hilton, the novelist, born in Lancashire, England, in 1900. Published 10 novels in the first decade of his career, didn't get any attention. Then he wrote Goodbye, Mr. Chips, about an old beloved schoolmaster. And when the book came out in the United States, it became a huge bestseller, followed by another one, Lost Horizon, about an imaginary Tibetan village called Shangri-La. Here's a poem for today by Howard Nemirov, September, the first day of school. My child and I hold hands on the way to school, and when I leave him at the first grade door, he cries a little, but he's brave. He does let go. My selfish tears remind me how I cried before that door a life ago. I may have had a hard time letting go. Each fall, the children must endure together what every child also endures alone, learning the alphabet, the integers, 3 dozen bits and pieces of a stuff so arbitrary, so peremptory, that worlds invisible and visible bow down before it, as in Joseph's dream, the sheaves bow down and then the stars bow down before the dreamings of a little boy. That dream got him such hatred of his brothers as cost the greater part of a life to mend, and yet great kindness came of it in the end. 2. A school is where they grind the grain of thought and grind the children who must mind the thought. It may be those 2 grindings are but one, as from the alphabet come Shakespeare's plays, as from the integers come Euler's law, as from the whole, inseparably, the lives, the shrunken lives that have not been set free by law or by poetic fantasy. But may they be. My child has disappeared behind the schoolroom door, and should I live to see his coming forth a life away, I know my hope, but do not know its form, nor hope to know it. May the fathers he finds among his teachers have a care of him more than his father could. How that will look, I do not know. I do not need to know. Even our tears belong to ritual, but may great kindness come of it in the end. September, the first day of school, a poem by Howard Nemirov from the collected poems of Howard Nemirov, published by University of Chicago Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues, subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Engineered by Noah Smith and produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
The School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast offers degrees that work. Online degree programs and courses in business, human resources, management, MIS, and accounting. Explore your options online at uas.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by University of Alaska Southeast School of Management.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 9th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 20 minutes after the hour. I've been joined now in the studio by Susie Tierlink. She's earning her PhD in marine biology up at UAF, but here in Juneau, and she's the founder of Juno Flukes, which is a new humpback whale nonprofit research organization. Welcome to the show, Susie.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So Juno Flukes, a nonprofit research organization that's going to focus on humpback whales. Tell us about your inspiration for this organization.
Sure. The inspiration for Juno Flukes is that we have an incredible population of humpback whales that are available to be enjoyed by locals and tourists alike. And we really recognize the value of this resource. And so we think that it's important that we monitor it closely and that we promote it and that we celebrate it.
Great. I was going to ask you, what is this organization going to do? It sounds like some advocacy, research.
Yeah, all of that. Juno Flukes is dedicated to research and community education on humpback whales. We have goals of doing monitoring programs, and for humpback whales, we typically monitor them by doing photo ID studies. And so this means that you take a photo of the underside of the fluke or tail of a whale, and each one is unique, and this allows us to track individuals over space and time. And so what we can do is we can do these photo ID surveys throughout the summer season and get a better understanding of our local abundance and population around the Juno area. So in addition to monitoring, Juno Flukes is also engaged in a number of other research and education opportunities. So we have a citizen science program where non-scientists can participate in the scientific process. We also have seminars where local researchers can share information about their work in the marine mammal field with naturalists on the whale watch community and locals. We also help to facilitate other directed studies on humpback whales throughout Southeast Alaska. And lastly, we have a website, which is www.junoflukes.org, just as you would expect. And this has a catalog of all humpback whales that we've seen in the Juneau area. And this can be used for people to match flukes that they see on their own and go back and learn a little bit more about those individual whales and about humpback whales broadly.
About how many whales are in that catalog right now? Do you happen to know?
Yeah, I think it's about 130 individuals at this point.
Wow. Wow. You have a fundraiser coming up this Saturday. Tell us about it.
Yes. So this fundraiser is meant to raise some startup funds for this new research nonprofit. And the name of the fundraiser is the Chocolate Splash Bash. It's going to be a whale watch and chocolate tasting combined. And I can't really imagine what more anyone would need. So this event will be this Saturday, September 12th. It's going to leave from Dawnstadter Harbor, which is just Auk Bay, at 3:30. It starts boarding at 3:30 and leaves at 4. And a ticket on this boat will include a 3-hour whale watch, unlimited chocolate tasting, a wide variety of fine chocolates that we've had a fun time selecting. And it will include one free beer or wine ticket for those who are 21 and over. And also a chance to hear from some local researchers. We'll have a few whale biologists in town on board.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What are some challenges that our whale population, I know they go between here and Hawaii, but when they're up here, are there any challenges that that population is facing?
Sure. In general, humpback whales in Alaska and Southeast Alaska are really healthy and thriving. And so we get to enjoy that. We have a pretty regular abundance of humpback whales. However, there are challenges. There's risk of entanglement and there's risk of ship strike. And when it comes to the Juneau area, I think one of our biggest concerns is just the concentration of vessel traffic. So we just have a lot of boats around them. And so one of the goals of the organization is to try to address that head on and try to understand what those stressors are, if any, and if there's risk of whales leaving the Juneau area, and keeping in mind just a vision for sustainability and trying to maintain a healthy population close to Juneau.
Okay. Susie Tierlink, she is the founder of Juneau Flukes. They're having a fundraiser this Saturday. It leaves Statter Harbor at 3:30. Oh, I guess it leaves at 4, doesn't it? It's a whale watching and chocolate eating extravaganza. Sounds like a lot of fun. Again, what's the website, Susie?
www.junoflukes.org.
And do you recommend that people buy tickets, go there for tickets? Or?
No. In fact, tickets can be purchased through Hearthside Books, either location, or at the Jack. They also can be purchased online at the Jack's website, which is jahc.org.
All right, Susie, are we missing anything?
I just want to let people know that the marine forecast looks great. We have an excellent lineup of chocolates selected, and the humpback whales have been phenomenal. So we hope that folks will come out and have a good time and support this new organization.
Great, Susie. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
This is Bird Note. Emperor penguins thrive in the most frigid regions of Antarctica. To feed themselves and their chicks, they chase down fish and squid in the icy ocean. Getting into the sea is easy. They simply slide along on their bellies to the edge of the ice and plunge in headfirst. It's getting back out that's the tricky part. How to haul that plump 80-pound body up and over an icy ledge several feet high while avoiding the attention of nearby predators like hungry leopard seals. Underwater video of the penguins reveals how they do it. As it's swimming briskly upward toward the surface, a penguin releases a layer of air bubbles from under its feathers. These act like a lubricant, reducing friction between the bird's body and the water. Surrounded by this film of air, the penguin's upward thrust increases, and it launches itself out of the water like a feathered torpedo up and over that icy ledge and onto the safety of land. It's just one of the adaptations that allows the emperor penguin to survive in one of the most hostile environments on the planet. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCain. Thank you.
City and Borough of Juneau Local Emergency Planning Committee is hosting a Community Preparedness Expo on September 11th and 12th at Centennial Hall. Browse a wide variety of information booths, attend presentations throughout the event, and participate in special activities. Have fun while learning how to support those who trust you to take care of them through life's everyday emergencies or a full-scale disaster. Admission is free and there will be daily drawings for door prizes. Who depends on you? Your preparedness could save their lives. For information or vendor registration, go to juneau.org and look under Hot Topics.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 9th. It's about 30 minutes after the hour. Scott Burton, your host, and I have been joined now in the studio by three divas, including Jocelyn Miles, Katrina Lee, and Christina Pollack. Welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're here to talk about Who's Your Diva. It's in about a week and a half on Saturday, September 19th at 7 p.m. at the Jack. And these three are in competition right now for your votes to help raise money for the Juneau Lyric Opera. And they're giving each other bad looks here in the studio. I mean, this is some competition.
How dare she? Oh, man.
No, they're not doing that at all. In fact, Jocelyn and Katrina, while you are doing your own acts, Katrina, you're also going to be backing up Jocelyn. This just sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
Christina, you not only will you be a diva, but you have participated in Juneau Lyric Opera. Tell us a little bit about your experience with Juneau Lyric Opera.
Oh, I love Juneau Lyric Opera. I don't usually do that much singing with Juneau Lyric Opera. I'm usually in the pit as a French horn player with the Amalga Chamber Orchestra, backing them up on some of their performances. But I've always had wonderful experiences with Juneau Lyric Opera. I did actually get to do one a little bit ago. It was a Winterfest concert, and it was wonderful. It was the December before last, and I just had a blast. It was great. You get to learn about singing, and you get to have this community sense, and it's just wonderful. It's a great organization to contribute to.
A lot of people agree with you and say the same thing. So listeners, if you want to support this organization, you can go online and vote for any of these divas, or you can go to the event itself, and you can do some live voting. And what does the winner get? I can't remember.
We get to be the reigning diva for the year.
Nice. You get like a robe and that.
I think we at least should get a crown.
I believe we do have a crown.
I just want to rub it in your face. I don't really care about all that.
Oh, my goodness.
Jocelyn, let's start with you. Tell us about what we can expect on that Saturday. What are you going to perform?
Well, I'm going to perform Celine Dion's Because You Love Me. I'm also going to perform a little bit of Tina Turner with my friend here. and we're just, you know, we're going to, you know, jazz it up a little bit and throw it down and, you know, see
what
shakes loose.
Katrina, how about you?
Well, I'm going to be singing Titanium, which was done by David Guetta and Sia, but I'm singing it as a ballad, which is how it was originally written. And then I'm going to be singing Come to My Window by Melissa Etheridge.
Okay. And Christina?
I'm going to be singing a not well-known piece called Ill Wind. What it is, it's Mozart's Concerto No. 4, Movement No. 3, but it's written with words. So they took the French horn part and they gave it words. It's by a group called Flanders and Swan, so I will be doing a little bit of a skit parody with that. And Luke Weld, our awesome accompanist, will be helping us out on that. It'll be wonderful. And then I'm going to be doing a top 40 because, of course, all about that bass.
And is it, remind me the website, is it junolyricopera.org or is it?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, tell us how this voting's going. Who's winning? What can our listeners do?
I think a few of our ladies are tied for reigning diva right now. And I know a lot of us have also put it on our Facebook pages.
So. Yes, definitely.
Either place would be great.
Well, and if you don't have to give online, you can give at the event as well. You can speak with any of us, and you know we love money. Of course, we're divas; we need to be paid.
Yes, please.
But definitely vote and come and support the Juno Lyric Opera. It's wonderful.
Now, Jocelyn, not to put you on the spot or anything,
yes,
but
darling,
you were thinking about maybe doing a little singing for us here on the show.
I could do that.
Oh.
You know, a diva, she can do that.
All right.
Okay. If I should stay, I would only be in your way. Is that enough for you?
Wow.
Vote.
You just gave me chills. Nice.
I do that. Thank you.
All right. Well, again, this is going to be on September 19th at the Jack at 7 p.m. All of your votes go to support this fine organization. It sounds like it's just going to be a fun, fun night. And remind me how many participants there are.
Ten
divas.
Yes.
Wow.
Vying for your attention.
Well, Jocelyn Miles, Katrina Lee, and Christina Pollock, thank you so much for coming on the show. Anything else either of you would like to add or sing or anything?
I just want to send a thank you to Lyric Opera and Franny Leach. She's amazing. Luke Weld and the gentleman that will be backing us up with the band.
Awesome.
They're just amazing. We can't sing your praises enough.
So nice.
We'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want a little sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl. Been acting different, I've been told. Soothe me, I want some sugar in my bowl. I want some steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
Support comes from North End Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. North End Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 9th. It's about 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Currently 57 degrees at the Juno Airport. And joining me now by phone, he is a cooperative extension agent for UAF, Mr. Darren Snyder. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Hi, Scott. Thanks so much.
Yeah. So we are here to talk about your guys' Extension Sundays. Let's hear about them.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of activities going on throughout our programs. On Sundays specifically, we've been offering, and we are really getting started now that it's the fall season, for 4-H programs. And so we're putting out the word for youth and adults who are interested in outdoor skills and adventure type of programs. We've had a great camp this summer where kids are middle schoolers and high schoolers are learning anything from how to build shelters and cook on outdoor fires and kayaking, water skills, and anything from how to harvest deer and firearm safety and all kinds of outdoor Alaskan skills. And so now that everybody's back from the summer, we're starting to offer this up again. Right now, we're going to be meeting on Sunday afternoons or evenings, just because that seems to be a good time slot for folks. And so we have that going on. We also have if folks are interested in carrying forward some of the joy that the Chautauqua group brought to our town, and some of that revelry of juggling and music and song and dance and just having a good time together doing that type of activity. We wanted to offer that to the community to bring people together around that kind of vaudeville-y fun. So all these different activities, some of them are scheduled, some of them are to be scheduled. And so if folks contact our office at 523-3280, then they can just let us know you're interested, and we'll help you schedule to be part of it. So we have those 4-H activities going on right now, we've also got just so folks know, the 4-H youth activities that are coming up this fall. Additionally, we've had a great outdoor large boat sailing club that's been going on. They're not going to be on the water anymore this summer, but they are opening it up to new members. So if there are youth, high schoolers, and I believe they're also accepting middle school age youth who want to learn about sailing and participate in a club that's learning about and then next sailing season participating in that, then they can also get a hold of our office, and we'll hook them up with that club as well. We've got our cross-country skiing, just to put it on everybody's radar, is going to happen again this year. So we have amazing volunteers and just some great a great group of kids who get out there recreationally on Sundays right at the turn of the year, but just signing up during this winter time, and then some older youth, high schoolers who and anybody who's really dedicated to the sport to do our Devo group, and so that's going to also happen again this winter. So those are some of our 4-H youth activities. If there's anything else that people want to do with 4-H, please contact our office and we'll help them out. We've got a lot of other fun activities. One of the things coming up this weekend that unfortunately our office hasn't been able to participate in, but we work on this area, is the Emergency Preparedness Expo. And I don't know if you brought people on to tell people about that.
Yeah, our next guest, Tom Matisse, is going to tell us all about it.
Perfect. Well, unfortunately, Extension isn't going to participate directly in that this year, but we do have a lot of information on that for personal family preparedness and then also community level preparedness. So if anybody's interested in kind of looking at how we're ready as a community to particularly feed ourselves, that's some work that I work on personally and that we have some good information on. And so if that's a topic that's of interest to you, then please contact me and we can work on those on that topic together. But I do highly recommend you pay attention when Tom gets on the line, gets on in a little bit and attend that expo this weekend, folks. I'd like to also just quickly, if I could, share about folks that are interested in our gardening programs. Been getting a lot of calls, a lot of interest, and we will be offering our Master Gardener class again and this winter. And as in past years, it's going to be starting up after the turn of the year, so in late January, but look for registration this fall and winter so to get ready for that class. So, again, contact our office. Contact me at UAF Cooperative Extension, Juno. Just Google Darren Snyder with Cooperative Extension Service, and you can send me an email, and I'll let you know when registration opens for that Master Gardener training program.
And, you are busy.
Yeah, we're really busy. And just to kind of put a bug in folks' ear, the reason why I'm calling in on this one is I'm in the Kenai Peninsula right now and doing a tour of the high tunnel growing that goes on here. And so we have just as much opportunity as Kenai. They have over 200 high tunnels throughout this area.
Darren, what's a high tunnel?
Well, it's a hoop house that you can walk into. And you folks have seen them around. It's a visqueen covered, plastic covered, kind of a Quonset hut shape usually. And there are some of them around town. Joe Orsi has a great one growing, growing things in there. Landscape Alaska has had them up over there on the way towards Home Depot before they moved. People may have seen that one. But they're just great growing environments. It's a less expensive way than a greenhouse to grow lots of the hot weather crops like tomatoes and cucumbers and those types of things. But a lot of people here are growing some of the things we grow outdoors. They're growing carrots and kale and to kind of monstrous sizes. And it's a way of being able to carry the harvest into the fall and start it up earlier in the spring. And there's a program through our colleagues with the Natural Resource Conservation Service, NRCS, where people can actually get reimbursed for these high tunnels. And so, again, if you contact my office, I can help connect you with Samia and the folks with NRCS, and you can find out about how you can qualify. If you're a gardener currently, you can qualify for a high tunnel and start getting one of these growing environments in your yard. You don't have to be a commercial producer. You can So it's a exciting way for people who are interested in growing to take it to that next level and do it affordably with this program.
Well, this sounds a lot of interesting things going on, Darren. I wish we had more time. If you have more questions for Darren like I do, give him a call at 523-3280. Darren, I hope you're having fun up there. It sounds like you are. And we'll see you when you get back into town. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, just, folks, visit the Preparedness Expo, and we'll see you this fall. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, Darren. See ya.
Yep. Bye-bye.
A lazy flatland farmer who flat picks no guitar. Yeah, lazy flatland farmer who flat picks no guitar. He don't make no money, but he can out pick a Nashville star. Yeah, the people from the pickups are traveling for miles around. Yeah, we'll be right back. drink out, pray and outlay any of them Nashville stars.
September 12th is the 6th annual Day of Play. City and Borough of Juneau Parks and Recreation and friends would like to invite you for a fun-filled day of activities throughout the city. Participate in open swims, drawing with chalk, hands-on play, basketball, storytelling, ice skating, a hot dog lunch, and more. Call 586-5226 or visit juneau.org/parkrec for more information.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 9th. It's about 6 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining me in the studio by phone now is Tom Matisse. And we're going to talk about Saturday's Juneau Preparedness Workshop. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime, anytime. So tell us about this workshop, Tom.
Well, the idea behind the Preparedness Expo is September is National Preparedness Month, and the idea is all the community members and volunteer organizations that support the community coming together to showcase their services, to let people know the services they provide and how they can become more disaster resilient, as well as letting the public know how they can volunteer and support those organizations. We have not only 30-plus expo-style vendors in the main hall in Centennial Hall, but we have a long list of presentations that we'll be doing throughout the 2 days to give people hands-on training and all kinds of great skills.
Sounds good. It sounds like it's on Saturday and Sunday. Is that right?
It's on Friday from 11 to 7 and Saturday from 10 to 5.
Okay. If somebody wants to participate, are there tickets? Do they need to go online? Anything like that?
It is free. We'll look forward to seeing you down at Centennial Hall this weekend. There's just a great lineup with all kinds of great education to be had.
And, Tom, just give us one example of things that folks are doing now that we may not have been doing, say, 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, we're getting a lot better at building our emergency go kits and planning for the future. You know, with mudslides in Juneau and recent floods and other things, we've got a lot of people in the community who really pay attention to those kind of things. With recent extremities in the weather nationally and worldwide, I think people are paying a little more attention and people are understanding the importance of personal preparedness. Whether that's a rain or a mudslide event or whether that's a simple kitchen fire, the idea through this event is to give people the tools to be prepared to handle most anything, to support themselves and their loved ones. It's really not about supporting ourselves. We do a great job of taking care of ourselves, but this is all about who depends on you, your elders, your children, your pets, the organization you work for, the rest of the community. How can you have your ducks in a row to take care of your loved ones and still be a productive member?
Give us the details once more, Tom, this Friday and Saturday and times.
It is Friday from 11 to 7 and Saturday from 10 to 5, Centennial Hall.
Great. Tom Matisse, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Anything else you want to add? Are we missing anything?
There's just great opportunities. There's free CPR training, free fire extinguisher training, a long list of things. We look forward to having people involved. It's a free opportunity to learn how to support your community. Thanks for coming out.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
Bye-bye.
tuning in to a Juno Afternoon tomorrow. Joan Pardis will be your host. We'll get an update on UAS. We'll take a look at Perseverance Theater's new production, The Tragedy of Othello. We'll meet another diva, and we'll hear about art happenings in Juno during Arts Up. Those interviews, Writers Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more, Thursday on a Juno Afternoon, live at 3, repeated at 4 on KRNN, and available, as always, online via ktoo.org. The weather looks tonight, rain becoming heavy at times late, lows around 48. Tomorrow, Thursday, rain, heavy at times, highs around 55. Friday, showers, highs around 56. And going into the weekend, rain, showers likely, highs around 53. And looks like on Monday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, showers, highs around 54. Thanks for tuning in.